So last night, God really set some things in motion, I think, just talking to people. And I know there's some guys that were here last night, couldn't be here this morning because of other events and things like that. And I believe that that's what's awesome is like you get what you come for. And I believe that God is beginning to build a momentum inside of us, this sense of expectation that if the completed work of Christ is sufficient, and what you guys did, I mean, just watching you guys last night come up and nail it on the cross, it was so obvious it wasn't a religious exercise, that it was really releasing of these burdens, releasing of these things. And I believe that as you continue to visualize, and I would encourage you to take a picture before you leave today of this, even if it's a reminder of what God did last night. Like, you know, I nailed it on the cross. Like, it's been nailed to the cross. It's been done. And I'm not going to pick it back off. Because literally, what do you have to do? You have to grab a hammer. You have to go to work, and you have to pry out the nail in order to be able to take back off the cross. And that's the thing I was thinking about, too, is that it's not just a simple thing to take what was nailed to the cross off, right? It actually requires intentionality and effort. And so what I would encourage you to do is continue to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Now, there's this verse, and even as we were worshiping, I felt like Lord said to go back to it before we launch into what we're talking about. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, let me hear you say in Christ. So remember, Galatians 2:20. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Why? Because I've been crucified with Christ. Okay? It's the same thing. So if you've been crucified with Christ, if you're in Christ, the new creation has come. Let me hear you say, the new creation has come. It says the old is gone, the new is here. Right? Or new has come, depending on the translation. It says, if anyone is Christ, you're a brand new creation. And so what we want to do is what we if we believe now that it was completed, finished on the cross, that means now there is a new reality that I need to live from. Remember the example last night I gave you of the amputee, right? That there's going to be things sometimes in your walk with Christ where the phantom pains of the old are going to rear their ugly head and they're going to bark at you, they're going to talk at you, they're going to try to convince you that they're real and they're alive. And what you have to do is realize in this moment, wait a minute, no, I not just nailed you to the cross, I buried you with Christ. And what came out of the grave was not the old, it's a new thing. And I think it's important to pick up on this thing too, because sometimes we think it's an improvement. The new creation is an improvement on the old thing, and it's not one bit. It literally means you've got a brand new DNA. Like the second, and I was thinking about Alex. I was praying for him last night. It was awesome when he gave his life to Christ. That literally when he walked in, he had one DNA. And then the moment he accepted Jesus, he walked out a completely, totally different being, DNA and all, spiritual DNA. Like he was not the same man, literally. You are not the same men that you were before you met Christ. And so there's got to be this continuation of a bringing to remembrance, bringing to mind who you are in Christ. And sometimes it may feel like, well, don't we need to go learn new things about God? Yes. I mean, I think there's more of God and we need to do it. But what we have to do is we have to have this foundation. The reason I felt it was so important, especially before Jim and Pat Banks come at the end of this month and really teach about inner healing, was that we needed to lay this foundation, because if you start from this position that, well, not everything was really covered, and then I begin to go into an inner healing room, or I begin to get discipled, or I begin to read the Bible, I begin to pray, I'm doing it from this old mindset, and this old mindset never got me anything good, right? I must do it from this position of the new creation mindset, so that when I read scriptures, I'm reading it through the eyes of Christ, what he intends. And that's going to allow you to stretch. And so what's also is going to need to include is you must be willing to be pliable, moldable in God's hands. Like until you go home with him, we can never become rigid, right? Set in our ways, set in the ways we think about him. We must continue to let this challenge us, let the Holy Spirit challenge us. And so this morning, well, the first thing I want to begin with is that we talked about this idea of salvation last night. What's the next important thing? The way that you're going to live successfully in your identity in Christ is if you're willing to be led by the Spirit. And I know this group of men, we've talked about it, that we're a spirit-led church, spirit-filled church. We're not talking about in this moment some of the manifestations of the Spirit that come and go. What we're talking about is this manifestation of the Spirit where your character matches up with his character, where your mind matches up with his mind. Like what we just did a second ago was partnering with heaven to bring healing to these men. And that's because of what he's already done. In that same way that you do supernatural ministry there, it's a supernatural ministry to become who Christ made you to be. And that's going to require the same amount of faith. Now, let me ask you this question. Did you have to understand salvation to receive it? No. If anybody could really say they fully understood what Jesus did on the cross completely, I mean, 100%, like you understood all the new ins and outs and stuff and like that, then I would say you're a perfect man, right? But how did you receive it? You received it not through understanding. You received it by faith, right? You heard God speak. It created faith inside of you. In the same way, when we talk about the gifts of the Spirit, how do I receive them? By faith. Do I understand all of them? No, I don't. Not fully. I don't understand how healing comes in certain ways. I just know that it does because he is good. But I don't have to understand it to fully access it. Now, does that mean that knowledge is a bad thing? No, it's not. We should grow in our knowledge of Jesus Christ. We should grow in our knowledge of the things that he's made available to us. But I don't start with knowledge of how things work. I start with the knowledge of him that informs my knowledge of how things work. Does that make sense? So same thing in our discipleship when I'm working through forgiveness or I'm working through grace or self-forgiveness and these types of things. It's going to be accessed by faith through the Spirit of God. You came to know Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit, and you will live like Christ by the Holy Spirit. Now, I may be preaching to the choir here, but there's Father, there's Son, and there's Holy Spirit. One God, three parts, one God, distinct in their personalities and the way they engage, but it's still one God. But right now on the planet, we only have one representative of the Trinity, and that's the Holy Spirit. Father's always been on his throne. Jesus stands at the throne, right hand of the Father, interceding for us, right? So if we want to access God, we must access him through the Holy Spirit here who points us to Jesus, who points us to the Father, okay? So being led by the Spirit is not, as some have proclaimed, to be an emotional experience. Although, you might have an emotional experience. Okay, do you know the distinction between that? Just because I'm not having an encounter with Holy Spirit, and that's just all emotional, like I'm stirring stuff up. But I can guarantee you that when Holy Spirit touches you, it will be an experience that can produce crying, it can produce laughter, it can produce joy. It's an emotional experience. And why? Because God made your senses, and he declared your senses were good. When he made you, he says, this is very good, right? And so we are to taste and see God's goodness. We are to experience the goodness in this relationship with him. But one of the biggest truths of Scripture is going to be this, that you are called to host the presence of God. So that you realize, again last night, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And me and him. Like, it's indistinguishable between who is Jesus and who is me. Is the goal of what's taking place. Right? Now, do I lose my distinctiveness? No. He made your personality. He made you to be funny. He made you to be solid or strong. I mean, however your personality is, there's a design and a way that he made you. You got it, Carlos? Okay. So he made you to be distinct and unique in that. But what he's wanting to do is like in marriage where it says two become one flesh. Like for those who are married, are you still distinct and unique in yourself although you're married? Yes, but what's the idea? The heart, the spirit, the connectivity becomes one. And so if we host the presence of God, now when we talked about these levels of change last night, it really comes back to it's not my self-effort that is going to allow me to behave better, think better, all those different stuff. It's going to be the level that I connect with him inside of me. That's why I would just say this. Churches that believe, they believe in the Holy Spirit, they don't believe in the Holy Spirit. are actually cutting themselves off from the only thing that will actually sanctify them and empower them to be able to live and walk and breathe and be successful as a new creation in Christ. And so we as men must learn to love the Holy Spirit as much as we love Jesus or love the Father. I think it's so vital for us to develop a love, a hunger, a thirst for the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is God. It's not Father, Son, and Holy Bible. It's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit breathed through the Scriptures. And this is infallible Word of God. I believe absolutely this is what God has spoken. But this is not part of the Trinity. Because if you don't have the Holy Spirit and you read the Bible, your mind's going to be confused, or it's going to lead to death. Because you'll really read religious doctrines, you'll read the Old Testament, and you'll see where God, when God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, and you go, God must be really angry, he must be really pissed off, and I better be careful because he might just strike me down, right? If you don't have the Holy Spirit to lead you into all truth. And the same way when you're going through and you go, like, you know, in the course of a weekend, that old thing kind of barks up your head, and you operate out of the flesh rather than out of the Spirit, and you know, you get mad at somebody, you curse, or you do something, you know, something like that. The spirit of condemnation can come onto you where you go, gosh, I must have lost my salvation. Gosh, I must have lost, man, God must be really mad at me. And the answer to that is no, he's not really mad at you. He's not. He is always good. He's all loving. Now, is he just? Yeah. Are there consequences to sin? Yes. And here's why there's a consequence to that. Not because he wants to punish you. This is what we remember. What did we do last night? All the punishment that was due to you for sin, past, present, and future, was nailed to the cross with Jesus. All that punishment, all the wrath of God was exhausted on the cross. So why is it that there's consequences of sin? It's because anytime we become separated from God, we move from new creation side of the cross back to old nature side of the cross. And the old nature has consequences, doesn't it? Right? If I flip my, you know, somebody off, I might get pulled over or get shot. If I yell at my wife or something like that, is it going to create tension in my marriage? Yeah. That's just natural consequences of living out of an old nature. It's not because God's mad at you. What he does instead is he uses his Spirit to draw you back in to this place where you host the presence of God. So raise your awareness of, grow in love with the Holy Spirit, because he wants to do something inside of you that leads you to something that is deeper. It says 1 Corinthians 6:19, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? Let me hear you say, in me. Let me hear you say, in me. In me. In me. Who's in you? Right. God himself dwells inside of you. Fullness. There's another scripture that says the fullness of God, God was pleased. The fullness of God was pleased to dwell in Christ. Right? So 100% man, 100% God. The fullness. So the fullness of God is pleased to live inside of you. Why? Because Jesus is the firstborn among new creation. When Jesus was born again from the grave, have you ever thought about that? What happened? He died. He's risen again, the firstborn for you, a prototype, a template for who we are. Now, does that make us God? No. When Jesus lived on the earth, and here is the side note, if Jesus performed one miracle just because he was God, then we have no hope to see anything happen. Because I'm not God, you're not God, and I'm never going to be God. Okay? But Jesus came and demonstrated what it meant to be submitted to the Father underneath the power of the Holy Spirit. And from that, every miracle he did, every person he touched, all the way, even going to the cross, was done by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, the grace of God. Why? So that we can say, ah, it's no longer I who live, because I was crucified with Christ, but Christ lives in me. The life I live now is lived by faith in what? Not myself, not my ability to do it, but faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. In other words, Jesus didn't just die for me, he died as me. Jesus didn't just raise from the grave for me, he raised from the grave as me so that I can have a brand new creation. So I realize that some of this stuff might seem familiar or not, but the important thing is like this is the tuner for us. Like when I play guitar, and a guitar is built off of tension. You turn the string this way, it goes low, or you turn the string this way, it raises the tension, and it makes the tone go higher. And there's some tones that are not pleasing to the ear, right? There's some tones that if you had all six strings differently tuned, it would not be a pleasant sound. And I try to play a G chord, it won't matter. If I have my fingers correctly in the form that they should be on the strings, if the strings are not tuned correctly, it's not going to be a G. And it's not going to sound good. So it's these things where the Holy Spirit attunes our heart so that when we partner with God and we put our hands on the strings, does this make sense? And we put our hands on the strings because we're partnering with Him, then when it's played, then when we activate in faith, when we pray for the sick, when we love on our wives, then it's a pleasant sound that comes out because we've been tuned by the Holy Spirit. We are now becoming who God created us and redeemed us to be. That guitar was created to produce good music, right? Hands of somebody who tries really hard, but they don't know how to play it, it doesn't matter what it was created for. Self-effort alone will not make it sound good. It must, there's this partnership. Let God be your tutor. Does that make sense? So it says, you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I love this verse. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Let me hear you say, in my body. So does what we do in the flesh matter? Absolutely. How I'm living my life in the flesh matters to God. It's used to be glorified God. But the key, I think, in this is, and in your spirit, both your body and your spirit are God's. So you are spirit, your soul, and your body, your flesh. And that's the order it was designed to be in. But anytime we allow our spirit to come underneath our soul, which is our mind, our will, and emotions, remember the levels of change last night? If I took my identity in Christ and I put it underneath level 4, and so my beliefs are more important than my identity, and now what I believe, actually, and that's what happens. If I believe in my heart that I'm a slave, guess what? I identify as a slave, and I'm going to operate as a slave. But instead, it's supposed to be in this alignment where identity in Christ reigns and rules on the top of it, informing everything below it. So in the same way, I need to allow my spirit to get connected with the Holy Spirit, which will attune my mind, my will, emotions, will attune my body. And then what happens? I glorify God. Did you know the way to glorify God is to be in right alignment with Him? The only work that's required of you is what Scripture says, is to believe in the one whom He sent. Believe He really is who He says He is. What does that look like? I align my heart to my prototype, which is Jesus. Jesus is perfect theology. If I want to become who God created and redeeming to be, I must look at the life of Jesus and allow that to attune me, not in a point of comparison where I feel like, well, He's God, of course He healed the sick, or He was perfect. No, this is not about comparison. Remember, if He says it, it's capable in you. Does that make sense? So let it attune you. Romans 8:11, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, and just as God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, He will give new life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living inside of you. The problem is when we try to make our flesh feel better first, then it never can be alive. What makes you alive? We talked about it last night. Adam and Eve disconnected from God as the source and plugged into themselves to satisfy the flesh, to satisfy mind, will, and emotions. They traded in what they had free by God, thinking they were going to get something more, and they didn't, okay? So in the same way, we stay connected into it. Let me read this one more verse, and I want to go into a time of activation. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, in the Message version, this is what I like. It says this, these are all warning markers, danger, in our history books, written down so that we won't repeat their mistakes. Talking about when Israel disobeyed the Lord, right? When we look back and we see, oh, anytime I do things out of my own strength, bad things happen. Anytime I do things out of a following a law or a religious rule, bad things happen. That's what it's saying. As we look back, that we see this. It says our positions in the story are parallel. They are at the beginning, we're at the end, but we are just as capable of messing it up as they were. Now listen to this. Why? Because a choice. If I choose to operate out of the flesh, then I'll live according to the flesh. But if I choose to live by the Spirit of God, then I get the benefits of the Spirit of God. So don't be so naive and self-confident. You're not exempt from it. You could fall flat on your face as easily as anyone else. Forget about self-confidence. I love what this says. Forget about self-confidence. It's useless. Cultivate God confidence. Let me hear you say, cultivate God confidence. What does cultivation mean? When you cultivate a garden, what are you doing? You're tilling the soil, adding fertilizer, right? You're getting it prepared. You're ready. You're attuning the soil for something to grow, right? So it says cultivate a God confidence inside of your heart. That means what are you feeding on? If you're feeding on the things of the world and that's what continues to inform yourself, guess what you're cultivating? Either a spirit of negativity, a religious spirit, all those others, that junk, right? You need to cultivate a God confidence. Like he really is who he says he is. And I know I feel like a broken record when I say this, but I don't know of another way to say it. God is who he says he is. I am who he says I am. I like something simple, right? So how do I cultivate that in my life? It comes from our connection to the Holy Spirit. It says, no test or temptation that comes your way is beyond the course of what others have had to face. All you need is to remember that God will never let you down. He'll never let you be pushed past your limit. He'll always be here and there to help you come through it. So my very dear friends, when you see people reducing God to something they can use or control, get out of their company as fast as you can. Anytime we reduce God to something that I can control, and I would say I would down there that I can use, but I can understand fully, then I've made a God in my likeness versus me being made in his likeness. So on a daily basis, why do I read the scripture? Because I'm cultivating a God confidence. I'm cultivating my identity in him that informs as I go out in the day. I'm not reading it so I know the rights and the wrongs and the do's and the don'ts. The knowledge of good and evil never did me any good. It's the knowledge of him that does me good, right? Why do I pray? Because it connects me with the heart of the Father. Who, what? Through his Spirit leads me into all truth. He attunes my heart. I'm allowing my strings of my heart to be tuned to the right tone, the right frequency. Why do I worship? All these things, all the things that could be boiled down to religious activity. And I don't know about you, but when I first started my walk, I didn't want to do the church thing just because everybody else was doing it. I did ask the question, well, why are we doing this? And it wasn't because I was questioning whether it was a good thing or wrong thing. I didn't understand it. I wanted to know what was the value. What was the point to it? And I'm going to tell you this. I think that some guys, some of us, get to this place where we don't understand the true value because we've seen a bad example of it. We've seen people who fake it or manipulate or do any of those stuff. And so we allow what failed humanity has demonstrated to us to dictate what the truth is. And so then we don't engage in it. And because we don't engage in it, we don't benefit. And what I really feel like the Lord wants to do here, and let me say this, I'm not looking for a bunch of clones, by the way. I want y'all to be unique and distinct in who God made you to be. Some of you are going to be like me. You're going to holy hop when we worship, right? This is me, right? I wish I could dance better, and I'm praying for an anointing to dance because there's something that happens. David danced. He had his man after all. There's just something about that for me that I want to go do. But there's other guys who that's just not the way your personality's been. And I would never say you're not spiritual because you don't do what I do. We're not looking for clones. The question is how is your heart being attuned? So if in worship and you sit there the whole time like this, but inside your heart's on fire, inside you're being attuned and things like that, and the fruit of your life, because you've been cultivating this, is you can see the fruit of your worship life. You can see the fruit of your prayer life. You can see the fruit of your intimacy with him. Don't let anybody ever tell you, well, you're not dancing like me or you're not doing it like this thing or whatever, then therefore you're not spirit. That's a lie, right? So when I say these things, this is not because I'm looking for a clone, but I am looking for guys that will understand the value of prayer, understand the value of worship, understand the value in warfare, understand the value of declarations, understand the value for those who do dance, understand the value for those who paint. Because you know why? You've probably got kids that do, or family members that do. And let me give you this quick illustration. I just feel like the Lord is saying to shift gears. And I want to pray for you to receive a freshness of the Holy Spirit. God bless you. A visual God gave me a couple years ago is this, is imagine a big, huge oak tree that has got a wide trunk. It's tall, but underneath it, there's this incredible shade that's provided underneath it, right? And because its trunk is solid, the roots are solid, when the wind comes, that tree doesn't really sway all that much, right? Maybe the branches will do this, right? And they'll turn and stuff like that, but the trunk, it doesn't. I mean, it's solid, it's rooted in. And I don't know if you've ever seen a tree like that where there's saplings or other trees that the acorn has fallen off, hit to the ground, and begins to grow underneath that bigger tree. Has anybody ever seen that? I remember growing up, we had this huge oak tree in the front of my house. And I thought it was, God just really showed me. He said, I want to make you to be an oak of righteousness. To where you're solid, you're strong, your roots are deep into me. Nothing's going to sway you. The storms will come, lies will come, and it's not going to rock you. But there's others that are going to be underneath your cover of influence that are not so solid yet. But because they come underneath your cover, the sun doesn't scorch them. It allows them to grow. There's enough sunlight that comes in. They're able to do it. They're tapping into the same source because their roots are growing into where your roots are at. And so they're tapping into the same nourishment so they can get, but they're not quite there yet. And when the wind blows, they're protected because your trunk is so big. They don't get knocked over because they're underneath your cover. And he says, that's your wife. That's your children. That's your church. And there's this point of beauty that happens that as those trees grow and develop their strength, where then when we come in and we don't cut the roots off, but we go around and we take out the ground and we transplant it into a place where it can become a giant oak of righteousness so that it can produce acorns, that produces a covering for others to grow into a level of prominence. That's you guys. You might not be as vocal as I am. Like you're not called to preach in front of everybody. Maybe your leadership is quiet. But let me tell you what, your leadership is impactful. What God has called you to be, you might not be the most gifted one in your family, but your gift is to put them in a position to become all that God created and redeemed them to be. That's why when we get weak and we operate out of the flesh and when the storm comes, we start to tilt. We're not able to help the people in our influence become all God created and redeemed them to be. So this is so important for us. Put your roots down into Him. Cultivate your heart and realize that you have a purpose. I look at my children and I look and I know the gifts and they are amazing in them. And God, they're amazing. My wife is more anointed than I am in a lot of areas, most areas. And the Lord has challenged me to help her grow into the God confidence that she really is. She knows God is who He says He is. But helping her grow into her confidence that, or God's confidence in her, that she really is who He says she is. So that when she steps out, her influence is incredible. I step back. I'm going to tell you, pick on Matt here for a second. As Matt and Erica were sharing their testimony a couple weeks ago on a Wednesday night, and we've got this lady we've been ministering to, and she's got several different health issues and stuff, but you know, really with the some demonics and stuff. And so we've been ministering to her for a while. And that night she came in, and Jerry and I were in the cafe just ministering to her. After we walked in here, and I watch, and I'm listening to Matt and Erica, and it was right at the activation time, and people were on the edge of their seats like this. And my heart said, yes, I didn't have to be in the room for somebody to be impacted. The success of this church is not dependent upon me. It's awesome. And then I watched as they began to say, hey, if anybody wants to be released to another level, I think it's like this escalator. Like you want to go to the next side is what Erica said. Says, you just come forward for prayer. And all of a sudden, everybody, with the exception of one guy, is up at the front. And this whole front is covered with people. And I'm just watching them minister and love on people and prophesy over them and the Spirit come. And in my heart, I'm going, yes, yes, yes. Why? Because oaks of righteousness are rising up. You guys have a ministry. You have a purpose. Don't let your past, don't let those phantom pains keep you from your destiny. You're made to be mighty oaks of righteousness. Has anybody ever seen the Lord of the Rings movie? All three. And it was written by a Christian, J.R.R. Tolkien. But in the story, there's this this group of trees called the Ents. And they're like the ancient ones. They've been there for all, and they used to march and move and were alive and stuff. And they had allowed themselves, for the most part, to become stoic and rooted and slow moving and not really concerned with the affairs of the world. And there's this point where God sends in the two hobbits, most unlikely characters, that stirs the heart of Treebeard, who's the kind of the leader of guy, and says, like, don't you care? And all of a sudden, something awakens inside of him. And then there comes this thing which says, the Ents are going to war. And it's powerful because there's this turning point in the story where it feels like the enemy's about to win. And all of a sudden, here comes these trees in, and they wipe out the enemy. I use this because that's what I've been hearing for the last 6 months. The Ents are going to war. Like the trees, the solid ones, the ones who are called to be leaders, who are fruitful in the Lord, are marching to war. Where like we're no longer okay with what's going on in the world. Like it's not okay just to be disconnected from the world and say, well, the world's going to play itself out. I'm going to be here. I'm going to worry about me and my own. That is not going to satisfy, at least me anymore. It's time for the Ents to go to war. It's time for you guys stand up in your area of influence. But that's going to come you walking by the Spirit, not through self-effort, but baptized with the Holy Spirit, underneath the power of the Holy Spirit, allowing him to transform you day by day, and not believing this belief. Here's used to go to recovery classes. And I'm not going to speak bad about recovery classes. Celebrate Recovery is awesome. They did a lot of good things. But in some of those classes, not the intent of the curriculum, but what I found in the group was a mindset that was, I'm always going to be in a perpetual state of recovery. The problem with that is that that's not biblical. Not one bit. You weren't designed to be in a perpetual state of recovery. You're designed to be in a perpetual state of victory. If I allow my mind to come underneath that mindset, I'll never reach my fullest potential. So, Jesus said it in Acts. It's good, or John, at the end of John, he says, it's good that I go away. Why? Because then my Father can send the Holy Spirit, who's the comforter, who's the one that leads you into all truth. He's going to be your helper. He's going to walk alongside you. He's going to do these things. He's going to connect you in. The same, in essence, what Jesus was saying, the same way I operated on the earth, I'm sending you the same Spirit. So you can operate on the earth with me. And I believe what God wants to do is he wants to pray for you fresh today. And then what we're going to do is we'll move into another, we'll take a quick bathroom break. We'll come to a short time of teaching, and I want to get you guys conversing together. I'm going to go through a teaching about identity. So Jesus is about to ascend. He says, go to Jerusalem, wait, and my Father will send the promise of the Holy Spirit, and you'll be endued with power. So I'm going to ask you just a very bold question. Who in here has been filled with the Holy Spirit before? Baptism of the Holy Spirit? Okay. If you would like to be filled fresh again, put your hands out in front of you. If you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, it's all right. Put your hands out. We're going to be fresh and filled. I'm going to pray for us right now. So, Father, we believe that you are who you say you are, and that when you make promises, you fulfill your promises. That all every good and perfect gift comes from you above, and that includes the Holy Spirit yourself. And so, Lord, right now, I pray that you would breathe on us the way you did with the disciples the night that you resurrected. And you said, receive the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit sealed them up for eternity. But you said there was more. The same way you said, wait for the promise of my Father to be fulfilled. I thank you, God, that we don't have to wait any longer. That you give freely to those who ask. That we can have anything according to your name and your will. So we ask right now a fresh baptism of your Holy Spirit. Fill us fresh right now in the name of Jesus. Breathe on us. More. 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 More of you, Holy Spirit. More fire. Más fuego. Más fuego. Thank you for your good gift. Come, Holy Spirit. More. Cultivate a God confidence inside of us. Consume us. Let there be nothing left of us. Because all we want is you. More. Just declare right now, this is not a moment in church. This is a lifestyle of intimacy with you, Father. More. 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 So what we're going to do, guys, is you can stay in that place of intimacy, but we're going to take about a 5 minute, no, let's do 10 minutes, 10 minute break. We'll be back in here at 9:50. So if you want to sit, sit. If you want to use a restroom or get something to eat, go for that.